Let me join Brother Offer and welcome all of you to our services this morning. We do have a good number. We appreciate your presence with us, and especially those who are visiting with us. We're glad to have you among us this morning. I want to let you know that you are our honored guest, and we'll be glad to have you come back and join us any opportunity you may have to be with us at Market Street. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to take them and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be looking there as we begin our lesson together this morning. You know, this week is the Olympics have been on. I have been amazed as I would watch. And you would see various people who have gone through their training, their exercise, their strengthening, their conditioning, whatever. And they would be there just for the battle that they were going to face, if you will, the event that they had. And in some cases, they would go through this, and there would be great success. They would show their strength. Maybe would just nearly fall, but they would be able to stand up on that ice skate, and they'd be able to keep from falling. And then you just think about the strength of their legs as they were there, as they would be able to hold themselves up on that thin piece of metal. You see the people who would be going down these sledding, bobsledding, those kinds of things, luge. And you see that, and you see the strength. You look at the ice racers, the skaters, as they're racing around the track, and you see them as they're making those turns, and as they're just giving it all they've got, and you just can see the power and the strength that's there. You know, we think a lot about that, and we think that's what real strength is. But when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to learn something about strength, really. And that's when Paul is here, and he's on this occasion in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong." You know, when I think about this, I see this idea that Paul is writing about it, and he's writing about this time in which he had a weakness in the flesh, a weakness, a messenger of Satan that had come to buffet him. And as he is on this occasion being stressed with this thorn in the flesh, he says, "I wanted this thing to be removed from me." But the Lord says, "No. No. You're going to show strength, my strength, through your weakness." This morning, that's what I want us to consider. I want to consider my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know, sometimes we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about it in terms of how we really being in our weakness, in our weak points and weak moments, really show the strength of God in our lives and show His real strength that He has in our lives as we serve Him. And you know, we don't see this from the standpoint of physical things. Yeah, when we talked about the Olympics this morning, and we talked about physical strength, and that's what we see is real physical strength. We live in a day and age, and we live in a nation that glorifies the idea of independence, that I can do it, that I'm able. But you know, God really doesn't want a people who are sitting there saying, "I can do this. I have done this." He wants people who really will trust in Him. And that's what we see here. When we look at this morning, the contrast that the world and the Word on true strength, when we look at the contrast between what the world says and what the Word says about what true strength really is. In life, it's the stronger, it's the faster, it's the more cunning. That's the one who's the stronger. In business affairs, in athletics, the one who is the one that can survive, that's the strong business. When we live in the flesh and we live according to the flesh, these are the kinds of things we look to. We look at what I'm able to accomplish, what I'm able to endure. But when we see the law of nature and the way of the world is not the way of God. When I think about this, I think about we live in the world. John chapter 17, verse 16, Jesus says, we are not of this world. We live in the world, but we are not of this world. And we, you know, we need to come to grips with the idea that we are not in this world and not a part of it. Yeah, we live here, but this is not us. When I think about this, we need to make sure that we apply the strength of God to our lives. You know, as I think about this, I think about an incident back in the book of Judges. If you'll take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Judges, the 7th chapter, and look there with me when Gideon is here. He's fixing to go up against the Midianites. And he says here, the Lord said unto Gideon, verse 2, the people are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel shall vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. You know, their strength is too much. They've got too much going for them. If I let them have victory like they are, they're going to look and they're going to say, we did it. They're going to forget that God had a hand in this. So you remember the story. You remember how he told them, he said he'd go down and receive a group of men who would be a smaller group. Matter of fact, it wound up being 300. And he wound up sparing them in that. When we see this, we see the contrast. The world standards, when it said, what you need is you need to go down there with all those 22,000 against the forces of Midian, and you need to go and you need to fight them. Make sure you have plenty of people to conquest the battle. You know, when we have our wars in our fleshly, physical arenas of life, war, we've always tried to win war with the idea that we need to make sure we've got enough manpower, that there's enough troops. Troop levels, when you talk about battles and you talk about wars, the main concern in the recent wars that we've had is many times it is a matter of what does the troop level need to be? Do we have enough troops to win the battle? We'll make sure that we've got enough strength. But that's the arm of flesh that thinks of that way. But with God, he says, you don't need that many. So what we see is the way of God and the way of the world is different. True strength is different. When we contrast the way God looks at things, he's in many ways been glorified by man's weaknesses. He's glorified by man's weaknesses. As I think about this, men that have been used in the Bible to bring about God's plan. In so many ways are people that are really in the eyes of man would be so weak. I think about God's plan from the beginning and a people that he would choose for himself. And those people were the Israelites. Well, who were these Israelites? Well, they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were in Egypt and they were among these people. And who in the world would ever think about somebody like that being someone who would be chosen to really be a person who would be a chosen people of God that would ultimately bring about the great victory to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed? In the fleshly mindset, that never works. But God is glorified by man's weaknesses, in the fact that they were weak, in the fact that they were these people who were slaves, who did not know war, and really lived their lives in fear of the Egyptians in which they were around. You know, I think about this, I think we see this idea of the kind of weakness that they had, the kind of fear that they had. When we turn back to the 14th chapter of Exodus, and we look there, when here the children of Israel have been told, okay, you can go. Pharaoh said, you can go, you're going to be able to go. And so they are being led by the pillar of fire and the cloud. And it says in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14, as Pharaoh and his armies pursued after the children of Israel, said, no, we want to bring them back. It says, and when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know, here's these people. This is the type of people God has chosen for his people who are sitting there. And when they're told, you can go, you can leave this land of bondage. And they see Pharaoh coming after them. They've seen all these 10 plagues. They've seen the things that Pharaoh has done. And they're sitting there. And now at this point, they're still sitting there. They said, oh, we just wish we'd have stayed back. Why didn't you listen to us when we said, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You see, they don't understand true strength. No, what they're looking at, strength from the physical thing. And when the physical battle and the way that they were going to get across, here the children of Israel are going with their families, with their wives, their children, and they're trying to take everything they've got, and they're trying to leave Egypt, and here comes the armies of Pharaoh coming after them. They were not going to succeed in a fleshly battle. But they didn't understand true strength. They did not understand true strength. They didn't know that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. When we see them led out by the mighty hand, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall lay hold of your peace. You're going to have victory. And these Pharaoh and the armies of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the ones who you have worked, the ones who have been enslaved to for all your years of all your life, you're not going to see them anymore. You're going to have really ultimate victory. God's victory can overcome these great obstacles. They can overcome the great obstacles for the Israelites. Not only did it here in the book of Exodus, but as we've already noticed back in the book of Judges, the armies of the Midianites, when he took and went to battle against 135,000 of the Midianites, and he took them with 300 men, who the Lord said that he would choose when he said, take the armies down and let them go down to the river and let them drink water. And he says, separate those who drink the water. Those who drink the water and pick the water up and lap it as a dog, separate them on one side. And the others who kneel down on their knees and drink from the brook, put them on the other side. And when he had separated them, there were 300 that lapped. He said, take the ones who lap the water like the dog would lap. Take those to go to battle. 300. Many people say, why? Because God's glorified in man's weaknesses. I think not only about that incident, I think about the story of David. When David goes up against the Philistine giant, Goliath, and he's there and he's going out there to battle and he's defied the armies of God. And David comes down and he says, who is this Philistine giant that he should defy the armies of the living God? He says, I'll go and I will fight him. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so Saul says, okay, if you're going to go fight him here, you put on my armor. And he gave him his armor. And he put on. And David set those things off because he understood the strength was not in what he was going to do. The strength was not in the armor that he would wear. It was not in what he was going to take, the sword and the spear. It wasn't going to be about all that. It was going to be in the power of God. It was going to be in the strength that God had that he was going to overcome this Philistine giant. And so he set these things off, and he says, I have not proved these things. And he went over to the brook, and he picked up 5 smooth stones and a sling and went to battle against the Philistine giant and became victorious. And in that chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 17, he said about that battle, he said, the battle is the Lord's. And that's exactly right. Our life, as we're going through life, our life is a battle. It's a struggle between good and right, good and evil, right and wrong. And it's a battle. But the battle is about the Lord. And the battle is the Lord's. Do we have the faith and the strength of the Lord on our side? God is glorified by man's weaknesses. He uses unseemingly worthless things to deliver people. The things that don't seem to make any sense whatsoever, he uses these things to,
to His glory and to His honor.
As I think about this, I think about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 when he says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
You know, that seemingly seems to be so useless and so futile. Preaching the gospel, is that really going to get you anything?
God will be victorious with the preaching of the gospel.
He will see victory in that. He uses the thing not of the life and not of the world's wisdom and strength, but the things of faith. Those are the things that he sees for his victory. And he sees us for his victory. And the people of God use those things to be victors. So God can take those things which seem unlikely. He can take his message and preach the gospel message using fishermen who have no training in the law about the gospel and about God's plan and God's revelation through the prophets. He can take a tax collector who's despised and looked down upon, but who is ready to change his life and to be what God would have him be, and use him to preach the gospel message. He can use those people who will humble themselves, as the Saul of Tarsus was, who became humbled and recognized his need for salvation, and can use him as a great apostle Paul to preach the gospel. Yes, he can use all those people who seem to be worthless, and he can use you and he can use me. But he will only use us if we will allow him to. God's not going to force us. He's not going to force us. We can go over here and we can do everything and we can say, I don't like God's weakness. I don't want that. I want what strength, and I can try to do it all on my own. Because God gives me that choice. But whether I'm truly victorious, will determine whether I accept God's weakness and work through His will. Because that's how God's going to be glorified. When the humble and the meek recipients come into the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God, it's those people who will be blessed. Is that not what we see in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 12 in the Beatitudes? And we read those Beatitudes and we see those people that are listed there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, we read this and I read these verses here and I sit there and think, those things sound like the people that aren't the kind of people that we think we'd want to be a part of too much. A people that are mourned, a people that are poor in spirit and hungry and thirsting and peacemakers. Somebody who won't stand up. That's what we look about a peacemaker. Peacemaker is somebody who's trying to make peace. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to be strong. No, God says, I'll take the peacemakers. Because God is glorified through weakness. Finally, what we see then is that man's faith is strengthened through his weaknesses. When we have our weaknesses and when we have these weaknesses, it strengthens our faith. When we are faced with a time of mourning, when we see ourselves poor and humbled, when we see these people that are meek, when we see these people who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, what we find is we find people who are increasing their strength, their faith, their courage, their abiding trust in God are providing absolutely for them what they need in order to be victorious and for God to glorify them and for God to be glorified. But our faith that is not in Him, then we're looking for ways in which we might be victorious. We're looking for ways that I might
be able to overcome what I've got before me. I'm looking for ways that I might be able to do this. But through our faith and our trust and our courage in serving Him, we will find a strengthening to our faith. We will remember when we have this man of faith and we go to God, we will be going to God's Word and we will be reading it and we will be inclining our ears to this Word. We will be applying these things to our lives, to our hearts. They will be helping us when times come that are struggling, when we have our difficulties of life. I'm going to be able to rest back upon God's Word because I'm going to remember God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to remember that the Lord has given me some promises, that He will not put on me more than I'm able to bear. I can remember these things. I can remember these promises. I can trust in these things. And I know it's difficult. But through those things, my faith will be made stronger. I will be a person who goes to God in prayer. I will go and I will humbly bow before Him and I will beg His mercy and His granting petitions to me. But you see, a lot of times, that character doesn't hit us until we're made weak. When everything's going good and well sometimes, it's too easy for us to think, well, I don't need God right now. I don't need Him right now. I don't need Him. I can handle this. I think maybe one of the most obvious things about this that I've ever heard about is the sinking of the Titanic. You know, the Titanic was a ship, as you all remember, and was supposed to make its maiden voyage. It was coming to New York. On its journey, and an iceberg, and of course the ship was supposed to be unsinkable. As a matter of fact, I think the comment was made that God Himself could not even sink this ship. Well, they hit an iceberg, and I think it could accept four damages to four of however they divided the ship into sections. Four of the sections could be damaged. And it could still make its journey. It would not sink. But it had damage to five. And they knew that they were going to sink. And it didn't take a long time. My understanding about that is that it didn't take that long for that ship to sink. It didn't take a day and a night. It took just a moment, matters of moments, a matter of like an hour or 2 hours for that ship to be floating along with all the festive activities that were going on, to the sinking ship going down. And as the ship was going down, the violin players who had been playing and all their music and their dances and various things that they were going on the ship, as they were playing the music there, were now turned to playing the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee. Why? Because now all of a sudden it wasn't in the strength. They knew they were going to be defeated. They were in weakness. Now they're turned to God. That's a difference. A difference of attitude. A difference of perspective. But you see, we can't sit there and wait and go through life and say, well, when I get weak, when I get to that point, then I'll turn to God. Then I'll look to Him. No. We can't live our lives like that. We need to live our lives every day understanding that God can use me and that my life may be taken from me just like that. I may not have a warning. I may not know that in the next hour the ship that I'm on may be at the bottom of the ocean. I may not have another chance. This may be it. I need to make use of it. And so when my weakness has come, my faith is strengthened. I'm made stronger. I'm able to see God, and it helps me. And when my faith is strengthened, then when I go through the good times of life, I remember that it's not all about me. That when I really realize who I am, then I realize that really who I am is who God wants me to be. And that is the most important thing that I need to see. When I come to this point,
then I can say, as the Apostle Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Maybe that you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. You know, it takes that humble spirit of man who will come in faith, knowing that it's not resting upon his ability to do perfection to God's plan or trying to make it all on his own, but realizing that I need to surrender my life to God because I need God's help. Because you see, when it comes to sin, there's no way you can do anything about that. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from God, and God has done all he can for you in that respect, and that is he has given his life upon the cross, and he has died and shed his blood that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. But in order to do that, we must come into contact with that blood of Christ. And we come into contact with that blood of Christ when we are buried with him in baptism. And we are buried into his death. And we rise up as a new creature, a child of God. Having our sins cleansed, our sins washed away by the blood of the Christ. Resting upon the power of God. Living our lives in faith, in view of what is to come. And if this morning you're ready to do that, we'd love to see you come in faith. To turn your life over to him and serve him. Be faithful to him and let us know how we can help you. We want to do that. If you're here this morning, anybody accept the invitation of Christ, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing.